Welcome to the Independent Media Center Ontario Radio Blast for the week of July 30th to August 6th. The IMC Ontario Radio Blast is your weekly look at news items from the IMC Ontario and other independent media centers throughout Canada and the world. The Ontario Coalition Against Poverty's June eviction of Ontario Finance Minister Jim Flaherty has reignited a debate on tact within political movements in the province of Ontario. The debate has led to the Canadian auto workers removing their $10,000 a year funding for the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. This past week, OCAP issued the following statement. Dear brothers and sisters, CAW National President Buzz Hargrove has decided to cut funding to the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, or OCAP. This follows an eviction action which we carried out at the offices of Tory Finance Minister Jim Flaherty. Hargrove is apparently offended that participants in this action may have damaged some of Flaherty's furniture. For a poor people's organization like OCAP, the loss of CAW's $10,000 a year is a serious blow. This situation is further impacted because we have received this money every September for the past 5 years and have come to rely and base our annual spending on it. To lose it on short notice threatens our ability to operate our two small offices and pay our staff. It endangers the work we do to defend people facing abuses such as eviction, deportation, and denial of benefits, and it generally undermines our struggles for the rights of the poor and homeless. Of even greater importance, ever since our march on Queen's Park last June, OCAP has pressed for a renewed united struggle against the Harris Tories based not on outdated models of protest, but on models of real resistance. We have initiated a call for an economic disruption campaign to hurt the corporate cash registers of Ontario to the point where a price tag is put on the Tory agenda that makes them cost-ineffective in the eyes of their wealthy backers. We have traveled throughout the province visiting First Nations communities, union halls, schools, universities, and community centers. This has led to the formation of a common front of over 60 organizations ready to launch a counterattack on Harris that will sweep across Ontario during October. Our ability to carry on organizing in this most vital area of our work is also at risk as a result of Hargrove's funding cut. That the media, the cops, and the Durham Crown Attorney's Office were ready to label our action at Flaherty's office an act of terrorism, to attack us and to throw our members in jail was no great surprise. However, that Buzz Hargrove was so offended by our pitching a Tory minister's office furniture out in the street was astounding to us. Unlike the homeless who have died on the streets, the sick who are denied adequate health care, the victims of the Walkerton disasters, and workers who will be prevented from refusing unsafe work, Flaherty's filing cabinets felt no pain. Very frankly, as much as we respect the CAW, the stand taken by its national president is out of touch with the tasks that face us if we are to build a movement that can stop the Tories. The political thugs at Queen's Park just don't understand the language of fair play and respectability that Buzz wants us to use on them, but when they know we're ready to fight back just as seriously as they're prepared to attack us, that's when they'll understand us perfectly. When we launch this kind of uncompromising struggle, that's when the defeat of the Harris agenda will be on the table. Has so little been learned from Quebec City that the best we can hope for in Ontario is token protest and a refusal to go on the fence by those who full-fledged support would be decisive? OCAP strongly believes that we simply can't allow the old patterns of compromise and accommodation to hold us back any longer. Moral arguments and passive indignation bounce off the Tories without effect. Their government must be thrown into political crisis by a social mobilization that massively disrupts their workings, threatens their support base, and undermines their whole ability to proceed with their attacks. But we can't help to build such a mobilization without your help. On this basis, we are asking union locals, community organizations, activists, and all those who support OCAP's struggles to help us rapidly repair the damage done by Hargrove's unfortunate decision. Please just mail your checks to OCAP at 249 Sherbourne Street, Toronto, Ontario, M5A2R9, in solidarity, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty. For more information about the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty and their fall campaign of economic disruption, visit their website at www.ocap.ca. In other news, a group of cyclists are winding their way across Canada this summer to raise awareness about climate change. Accompanied by a bus powered with vegetable oil and with solar and wind power for their electrical needs, they are stopping in all major urban centers and spots along the way to challenge individuals to lower their greenhouse gas emissions. Jordan McDonald and Leslie Bruce are two of the 10 students from Mount Allison University in Saxville, New Brunswick that spent the last 2 years planning this project. 30 people are cycling all the major population centers across the country with an open invitation for others to join in for days, weeks, or months along the way. As this group was cycling through Waterloo, three other members traveled to Bonn, Germany to deliver, quote, promise flags to a Canadian delegation that were discussing climate change. These flags were signed by the people who had agreed to the BET. The BET is a challenge to Canadians to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. There are 12 ways to do so, listed in order of priority, and Canadians have been asked by the caravan to choose 7 of them, thus reducing their emissions by 50%. Everything from not driving to work to becoming vegetarian and turning the thermostat down 3 degrees are possibilities for action. On their travels, the group has talked to town councils, MLAs, and MPs, and have encouraged cities to start their own projects, but their main focus has been on the individual level. We can't wait for government and industry, so we're forming a bottom-up movement of Canadians who are willing to make lifestyle changes. Some of the riding has been brutal, but most of it has been beautiful, Leslie says. The people have been amazing, both the bikers and those helping out, she said, that they've been well-received throughout. Although, quote, people can sometimes get defenses since we're approaching change on a personal basis. For instance, SUV owners are defenses about their choice of vehicles. But people see that something needs to be done. There were also inspiring examples of personal community change along the way. On July 27th, it was Leslie's turn to drive the bus. It's classified as an RV, so you don't need a special license to drive it, she says. The bus has beds, a toilet, a kitchen, and seats for 20. Fuel was not a problem either. We get waste oil from restaurants and filter it through pantyhose. Since the restaurants have to pay to get rid of it, they're only too glad to cooperate. In other Canadian news this week, activists in Montreal are celebrating their success from their squatting of an abandoned building for almost a week. The following are excerpts of a report on the Montreal IMC by Jaggi Singh. It was an eventful day for the squatters who have occupied an abandoned downtown building since last Friday. Another large city-owned building offered by the mayor's office was accepted by the squatters under their own conditions, which include an amnesty from criminal charges, the assumption of all costs by the city, as well as collective self-management. Meanwhile, 6 squatters who barricaded themselves in the original Overdale building were evicted at night in a major police operation involving 3 busloads of police and the riot squad. At least 5 supporters who were on hand as observers were arrested, and other supporters were baton charged away from the site. For more information on the Overdale squat, visit the IMC Montreal website at montreal.indymedia.org. And for more information on the squatting movement, visit squat.net. Finally, in international news, last week Southern Africa indigenous people who have felt the negative effects of massive government and industry-supported dam projects conducted a 24-hour fast, refraining from both eating and using electricity, to mark solidarity with the indigenous people facing illegal submergence due to the building of the Sardar Sarovar in India. Over the last several years, similar indigenous protests against large dam projects have inspired millions to act to force governments, corporations that profits from hydroelectric power, and international development bodies such as the World Bank to withdraw from massive dams that have often had devastating effects on the very people they are claiming to help. According to the World Commission on Dams, a World Bank-supported organization that has been critical of the bank's past dam projects, since its inception, the World Bank has provided almost $75 billion for 538 large dams in 92 countries. Bank-supported large dams have forced at least 10 million people from their homes and lands, adversely impacting local economies, especially of indigenous people and those in poverty. The WCD also criticizes the lack of voice the bank gives people in a proposed dams region in decisions about the project. Supporters of huge dams say they are necessary to generate efficient, environmentally friendly power. Detractors say the privatization of utilities enables powerful entities to unduly profit from the Earth's natural resources. For more information on the struggle against dam building projects throughout the world, visit the International Independent Media website at www.indymedia.org. You've been listening to the Independent Media Center Ontario News Blast. IMC Ontario News Blast is produced by Stuart Duncan at CFRU-FM in Guelph and posted weekly on the IMC Ontario website located at ontario.indymedia.org. Indie Media is a collective of independent media organizations and hundreds of journalists offering grassroots, non-corporate coverage. Indie Media is a democratic media outlet for the creation of radical, accurate, and passionate tellings of the truth. For more information about the international indie media movement, visit the International Independent Media Center website at www.indymedia.org.